noticed by them when their money had run out. But he wasn't going to look at the property. When the bluff appeared in the distance, his eyes narrowed. The long, rolling lawn, which drifted from Whitecap's porches to the shore, was a dazzling green. Oaks and maples framed the house, already turning colors from the frosts that came at night. He couldn't see anyone, and he looked harder, even as he started to turn the boat around. Cassandra didn't need to get anywhere near the Morehouse place. Her husband's sailing partner, who'd survived the yachting accident, was recovering there with his family. Gray wasn't sure she knew that or whether she'd want to see Alex, but he wasn't inclined to take a chance at giving her another shock. She'd had enough bad surprises lately. Cassandra's voice did not break his concentration. "My husband liked you, Gray."
"I liked Reese," he said, looking over his shoulder at the house, eyes searching.
"But he thought you were a dangerous man."
"Did he?"
"He said you knew where most of the bodies were buried in Washington, D.C., because you'd put a lot of them in the ground." He made a noise in the back of his throat and continued to stare as Whitecaps grew smaller.
"I've heard it from other people."
"Really?"
"They say even the president is wary of you." He glanced back at the house again.
"Loose talk. Just loose talk."
"Considering the way you're looking at that mansion back there, I'm not so sure."
Cassandra tilted her head to the side, regarding him with steady curiosity.
"Who lives there? Or more to the point, what do you want that's in that house?"
When Gray remained silent, Cassandra's dry chuckle floated over on the breeze.
"Well, whatever it is, I feel sorry for the poor thing. Because you look like you're on the hunt."
"Hold still or I'm going to stick you," Joy Morehouse said to her sister.
"I am holding still."
"Then why is this hem a moving target?" She shifted back onto her heels and looked up at her work. The wedding gown hung from her sister Frankie's shoulders in a graceful fall of white satin. Joy had been careful with the design. Too many frills and excess fabric wouldn't pass muster. Frankie thought blue jeans were formal as long as you wore them with your hair up.
"Do I look like I'm in someone else's dress?" Frankie asked. "You look beautiful."
Frankie laughed without bitterness.
"That's your department, not mine. I'm the plain practical sister, remember?"
"Ah, but you're the one getting married."
"And ain't it a miracle?"
Joy smiled. "I'm so happy for you." Everyone was. The whole town of Saranac Lake was thrilled, and they were all coming to festivities that were taking place in about 6 weeks. Frankie lifted the skirting up gingerly, as if she might hurt it.
"I have to admit, this thing feels good.
It'll fit even better when I finish the alterations. You can take it off now."
"We're done?"
Joy nodded and got up from the floor. "I've basted all around the bottom. I'll stitch it up this evening, and we'll do another fitting tomorrow."
"But I thought you were going to help out tonight. We're catering Mr. Bennett's birthday party, remember?"
Joy almost laughed. She'd have better luck losing track of her own head than forgetting where she was supposed to be in another couple of hours, and who she would see.
"Remember?" Frankie prompted. "We're going to need you."
Joy made busy work putting her sewing kit back together. She had a feeling her excitement was showing on her face, and she didn't want her sister to see it.
"I know.
The party could go late."
"It doesn't matter." Because it wasn't as if she'd be able to sleep when they got back home.
"I don't want you slaving over this dress.
And you're getting married in a month and a half, so I have to get the thing done. Well, unless you fancy yourself heading down the aisle in your underwear, a sight I'm pretty sure Nate would prefer to keep for his eyes only. Besides, you know I love doing this, especially for you."
She turned around. Her sister was staring out the window, absently stroking the gown.
"Frankie,